Turn in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, chapter number 42. We'll look at three verses tonight. I'll begin at verse number 18, then if you'll join me on verse 19, and then I'll finish on verse number 20. There in Jeremiah 42. Stand with me, please. And in Jeremiah 42, I'll begin verse number 18. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you, when ye shall enter into Egypt, and ye shall be an execration, and an astonishment, and a curse, and a reproach, and ye shall see this place no more. The Lord hath said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. For ye dissembled in your hearts, for ye sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, Pray for us unto the Lord our God. And according unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're coming before you. Lord, we are a needy people. We need you to come and be a part of the service, and we need you to work in our hearts. We ask that you please be with our preacher as he speaks. Lord, please help him to say what you would have him to say. Through the special music, help it to prepare our hearts for the preaching. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Jesus bow. appreciate it, young people. That was a blessing. Enjoyed that. Very good. That will be a great day when the old devil has to. It does say every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So that was good. All right. We're speaking on the subject of the heart in the month of March here. All right. And we spoke this morning on the worldwide woe about the evil heart. That's the problem in our world today. And the evil heart of man, politicians and even theologians, contemporary and liberal theologians have tried to blame man's problems on the outside of man, beyond man. We haven't identified it as being in man, but that's where God says the problem is, in our evil heart. So tonight I want to speak on the winking heart. Yes, the winking heart, like you would wink. All right. And like trying to trick somebody. All right. You see that in verse number 20, for ye dissembled in your hearts, the winking heart. Let me talk to you about it tonight. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, please help us. I pray, God, that you'll please speak to us. That is what this message is about. And I pray that we are sincere when we ask that tonight. Have your way in this service. We come, Lord, at this time, this hour. And, Lord, what a foolish thing it would be just to go through a ritual. Please help us tonight as we look in your book. Give us your power, both speaker and listener. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, speak to my heart. Or, dear God, please speak to my heart. Or, Father, would you please speak to my heart? I would imagine that most everybody in this room has prayed some kind of prayer like that. I caught myself, knowing what I'm going to preach about tonight, I caught myself praying that as we finished Sunday school teachers meeting tonight. I said, Lord, please speak to our hearts. I'm sure you have asked God to speak to your heart. God, speak to my heart. It's safe to assume that all of us have prayed something like that or something similar to it, about a church service, about devotions, we read the Bible, about a Sunday school lesson. Lord, speak to my heart. But, question, to what purpose is that prayer made? Or for what reason is that prayer made? When we say, Lord, speak to our hearts, is it sincere? Are we meaning, God, please speak to my heart and I will obey you? Is that what we're saying? Are we saying, is it real to us? Do we mean, God, please speak to my heart and I am waiting to hear what you tell me to do? Is it real or is it like a piece of parsley? I don't know a more wasted, ridiculous existence for anything than parsley at a restaurant when they bring you the plate of food. And there is this, Brother Gomez took me to eat on Wednesday, and we ordered, here came this nice big dish of jambalaya. So I got, it had andouille sausage and it had shrimp in it. And I just love spicy jambalaya. And it just the presentation of it was, it looked, it had chicken in it. I mean, just looked great. And here was the ever-present piece of parsley. And I don't know what you do with it. I toss it. I just get it out of the way at the very beginning. Get it off the plate because it's just in the way. I don't know if we use that prayer, Lord, please speak to my heart, like a piece of parsley placed on a plate of food because for presentation purposes. Or do we really mean it? You know, too many times, I'm afraid that we are like the people in this chapter. And I'm going to preach it and tell you about it tonight. In Jeremiah chapter 20, he told them, he said, ye dissembled in your hearts. The word is only used like three or four times in the scriptures. Ye dissembled in your hearts. The word dissemble means to be hypocritical. It means to assume a false appearance, to conceal the real motive or to conceal the real intention. And so Jeremiah said to this group of people, he said, you know what you've done? You have dissembled in your heart. It's almost like winking. Now, let me give you the setting here. Jeremiah 42. Jerusalem is already under attack by Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, the Babylonian army. They've already come in. They've already taken some people back to Babylon as captives. And they're going to come again a second time. Maybe they already have by this time. I didn't look that up. They'll come a third time and they'll just ransack the city and completely destroy it. Here in chapter 42, the conditions are deteriorating all around them, those that are left. A remnant is left in the city. And here's Jeremiah. He's highly visible. He's highly unpopular. Brother, a true prophet of God is not always going to be popular with the people to whom he preaches. He's highly unpopular. He's highly visible. He's horribly unpopular. And he is honestly delivering God's message to the people. And he continues to serve God faithfully in these conditions, in these circumstances. Now, I want you to see their request in verses 1 through 6. And I'm not going to break this down and belabor this a lot. Let me just tell it to you. Look what they said in verse number. They came, the people in verse number 1. They came in verse number 2 to Jeremiah the prophet. And they said, let we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee. Now watch what they said. And pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. Drop to verse 3. That the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. Now I think that's pretty easily understood. These guys, they came to Jeremiah and they said, hey, would you pray for us? Would you go to the Lord? Would you talk to God for us? And would you get us God's mind? Would you get us God's will? Would you get us God's direction? And would you find God's way for us, and we will do it. So that's what they said, their request. Look at verse number 4. Jeremiah answered, he said, okay, I have heard you. And behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And whatever God tells me, that's what I'll tell you. So Jeremiah says, okay, that's what I'll do. And then in verses 5 and 6, they reiterated their request. And said, now look at verse 6. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee. So Jeremiah, it doesn't matter if we think it's good or if we think it's bad. Doesn't matter what our opinion is. Whatever God says to do is what we will do. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, that's kind of the right approach, isn't it? And it sounds real good, all right? So that's what they did. Then look at God's response in verses 7 through 18. And again, I'm not going to take time to go through all of these verses. But look at verse 7. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. For 10 days Jeremiah prayed. I will tell you, this is not the message tonight. But sometimes, folks, when we don't get a prayer request answered the first day, we give up. God doesn't seem to do it on our timetable, so we just kind of hang it up. You know, if God doesn't move when we say jump, then we're done. Jeremiah prayed for 10 days. He asked, those people said, would you go to God and pray for us and get God's mind, God's way, whatever it's good or bad, whatever we think of, doesn't matter, we will do it. And it took Jeremiah 10 days. And finally, after 10 days, God began to talk to Jeremiah. And basically, to summarize verses 8 through 18, what God said was, Jeremiah, I want you to tell these people to stay in Jerusalem. Now, folks, that was not what they wanted to hear. He said, you tell them to stay in Jerusalem. You tell them, don't fear Nebuchadnezzar and don't fear the Babylonian army. I'll take care of you. You may go into captivity, but I'm going to bring you back into this land. If you go to Egypt with the idea that there will be no war, there will be no famine, there will be no pestilence, there will be no trouble in Egypt, you will be all wrong. You will not do any better there. You will, in fact, you'll do worse there. You'll die by the sword. You'll die by the famine, or you'll die by the pestilence, and none of you shall escape. Don't any of you go to Egypt. So that's what God's answer was. Now, according to what they said, we want you to find God's way, God's will, and God's direction. Whatever it is, we're going to do it. And so Jeremiah went to God, and this is what God said. So Jeremiah comes back, and he delivers the message that God told him. And then in verse 19, Jeremiah kind of adds his own P.S. Okay? He finishes God's response in verse number 18. And in verse number 19, it's kind of like he said, okay, there's God's answer. Now look at verse 19. The Lord hath said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Now that's what God told you to. He said, stay out of Egypt. Don't go there. And then he said, then Jeremiah said, know certainly that I have admonished you this day. I've given you God's message. Okay? You asked me to give you God's message? I've given it to you. But then he said in verse number 20, for ye dissembled in your hearts. He said, you asked me to get God's message. And God said, don't go to Egypt. And that's God's message, and I brought it to you. But I know you. I know you. I know your track record. I know your history. I know your mode of operation. You dissembled in your heart when you came to me and said, Jeremiah, pray for us and we will obey whatever God says. You gave a false appearance. You had no intention of doing what God said to do. You dissembled. You said, Jeremiah, pray for us, and whatever God tells us, that's what we'll do. So he said, I know you. Preached to you all these years, I know you. I know, that's what he said. He said, I know. And you know what? Jeremiah was right. The people had no intention of staying in Jerusalem. Their minds were already made up. They were going to Egypt. And you hit chapter 43 in your Bible. Look at it, chapter 43. Look at verse number 2. Here, after he delivered that message, here's what they said at the middle of verse number 2. Thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But Baruch, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us. They said, God didn't tell us that. That's not God's answer. That's not what God told you. Baruch is against us, and Baruch paid you off to say that to us. And you know what they? You know what, folks? Later on in chapter 43, you're going to find out what they did. You know where they went? They went to Egypt. After going to Jeremiah and saying to him, Jeremiah, whatever God tells you to tell us, that's what we're going to do. We're going to obey him. And Jeremiah said, I know you in your heart. You came with dissembling. You came with a dissembled heart. You had no sincerity. You had no intention of obeying God. Your mind was already made up. This was in their hearts. They were going into Egypt. Nothing could stop them. What they were hoping for was God's stamp of approval on their plans. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. And so they went in. Now, folks, look, we need to guard against this kind of a heart. A heart that is insincere. A heart that conceals the real intention and puts on a show of sincerity. But when we pray, God, speak to my heart, we ought to mean what we are implying. When we say, God, speak to my heart, we are implying that we are waiting on you. We need you. We need direction. We need help. We need counsel. We need wisdom. We need, God, you to lead us. And if you will speak to my heart, God, I will obey you. That's what that prayer implies, does it not? God, speak to my heart. This reminds me of the ruler that came to Jesus in Luke chapter 18 and verse number 18. And he said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He really had no intention of changing anything. And when Jesus exposed that, he went away sorrowful, not willing to do what Jesus told him to do. When's the last time you prayed, Lord, speak to my heart? God did, and you didn't obey. I really want to know God's will, as long as it fits my agenda. I really want to know God's plan, as long as it's equal with mine. So he said, dissembled heart. It's a wink. It's a cover-up. It's hypocrisy. It's fake. Now, let me give us three things to think about tonight, this matter of a dissembled heart, okay? And first one is so obvious, but we need to be reminded of it. And I just want to say it in four simple words, folks. Number one, God knows our hearts. He knows our hearts, okay? Now, look, we can fool somebody. We can fool this person. We can fool that person. We can fool dad and mom. We can fool our kids. We can fool the pastor. The pastor can fool the people. But God knows what's in our hearts. I remind you about 1 Samuel chapter 16, when Samuel went to anoint the next king of Israel, and they brought Eliab, the oldest son, by. Jesse said, oh, here's my oldest son. Look at him, man. He's head and shoulders above all of them. And when Eliab came up there, Samuel said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. And God said, no, don't know it's pouring oil on him. And God said this. He said, Samuel, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. The Lord seeth not as man seeth. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. God saw things about Eliab. God saw things in Eliab's heart that Samuel could not see. And people, the same is still true today. God sees, knows my heart. God sees, knows your heart. Boy, that ought to shake us up. You know, that kind of fear is not so bad, really. That God knows our hearts. Now, I'll say, in the Old Testament, God worked closely with His prophets in the Old Testament day. And boy, when those folks came with that little, you know, attitude of Jeremiah, you pray for us, whatever God says, that's what we'll do. You know, Jeremiah thought, okay, but God confirmed in Jeremiah's heart that these people aren't serious. They don't mean anything by all of their words. It's talk. Their track record was dismal. Jeremiah had been preaching a long time, telling those people what God's will is. They had yet to do anything that Jeremiah had preached concerning God's will. And God told Jeremiah, He said, it's all a bunch of talk. That's all it is. Now, my question is tonight, what's my track record? What's your track record? When it comes to obeying God, when He speaks to our hearts, what is our track record? You see, He sees what no one else can see. He knows what no one else can know. When we pray, as was prayed from this pulpit tonight by, I think, Brother Hall, Lord, Father, speak to our hearts. God looks down and He says, you know what? You really don't want me to speak to your heart. You really don't want that. Because if you imply, speak to my heart, what you're implying is, I need direction, I need help, I need counsel, I need wisdom, I need guidance. Well, speak to my heart so I can have, I can do your will. God says, I tell you my will all the time. Nobody pays attention. Nobody listens. That's what He's saying here. Now, think about it. Take a marriage relationship that is suffering, that is trending down, okay? And a spouse prays, God, help me, please speak to my heart. The implication is, God, whatever you tell me, I'll get it fixed. So God says, well, you need to do this and you need to do that. And you need, whoa, Lord, I was wondering about her. Well, wait a minute, Lord, I what about him? No, God said, you asked me to speak to your heart. Is that what we mean? Or have we dissembled in our hearts? Have we come with this little attitude of, God, sure sounds good, doesn't it? God, speak to my heart. Well, He knows us. He knows what's inside of us. I will fix it if it's convenient. I will fix it if I agree with it. And we got to be careful about this dissembling, concealing the real motive, the real intention of our heart. We'll only deal with it if it's within our comfort zone. But if it's outside my comfort zone, Lord, I didn't really yell. Dissembling, the winking heart. You take a parent praying for a child. God, speak to my heart. My goodness, how often I prayed that and still pray that. For the leadership that my children need in life. Not the married ones now, but the one that's left at home. But the others when they were at the house. God, please speak to my heart. Show me what my child needs. Now, folks, what does that imply? That implies, God, if you'll show me what my child needs, I'll deal with it. I'll deal with it. Show me what I need counsel. I need wisdom. That's what they said. They said, we don't know what to do. So would you please go to God for us and get God's mind and get God's way and get God's counsel and get God's wisdom, and then we'll do it. Whether we like it or not, we'll do it. What a lie. They dissembled in their hearts. So a parent prays, God, speak to my heart, implying counsel, wisdom, direction, guidance. I need you, whatever it is that you tell me for my child. But if God's answer involves confrontation, I don't want to do that. Or telling a child no. And that's, folks, that's really what I am really alarmed about. Society is what society is. But I'm talking about within Christian circles. I'm talking about within the confines of a Baptist church. We got parents afraid to tell their kids no. You want to upset the apple cart. And if God's answer is, tell your child that they can't do, fill in the blank, whatever it is, you know, well, we've already decided, Lord, that that's not a battle we're going to fight. Well, what did you mean then? What did you mean when you came to me asking me for advice, asking for me for counsel, asking me for wisdom, asking me for direction, asking me for help? What did you mean? If it fits your agenda? If it fits your plan? Folks, I don't think we talk to God that way. Maybe that's my point. We shouldn't talk to we should go to God, we should be serious. Lord, whatever it is, good or bad, I'm going to obey you. If I like it or don't like it. But if it's confrontation, sometimes we back off. If it's telling a child no, we're just not going to go there. Folks, honestly, in some cases, we are so adamant about what we believe. That's what I kind of wrote in the bulletin at the start of this month, this morning. I believe it's in here. As we begin this journey, a question needs to be asked. Is our heart even available to God to work on for His purposes? That's not an accidental statement. I've labored over that statement. For His purpose, is our heart even available for God to change? We're so adamant, we're so fixed, we're so certain that what we believe is right, that our agenda is right, that our program is right, that our this is right, and all the time praying, God, show me what to do. But God knows our hearts, friend. God knows how serious we are. God knows how sincere we are. God knows exactly what's going on inside of us. We do not want to take a heart that has dissembled. Jeremiah back to 42 and verse number 20. We don't want to dissemble in our hearts when we go to God. And God, I need your wisdom. I need your counsel. I need your help. I need your direction. I've got this teenage young daughter. I've got this teenage child boy over here. I got this college age young person, Lord, that I'm still responsible for. God, would you please give me direction? Well, this is what they knew. I'm not going to address that. But what we ask for. Hello, y'all out there. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Sometimes, folks, our hearts aren't even in a condition for God to change us. Not even a condition. We're set. We're determined. We know. And some things, that's true. Get some things fixed out of the Bible and don't change on them. But man alive, there are issues and things that come up in the life of a child ongoing all the way till the time that they get married and beyond. And if a parent doesn't stay pliable and willing to change and mold into what God wants and what God's plan is, I don't know why we pray, speak to our hearts. What's the implication? The implication is I'll do it. But they didn't do it. They dissembled. High school kids, juniors and seniors in high school, be very careful when you pray, Lord, show me what to do and I'll do it. Do you mean that? Do you mean it? God, show me what to do. I'll just speak to my heart about what you want me to do with my life. But I've kind of already got this thing figured out. What are we implying? What are we saying? You know, Brother Caleb's here. And Brother Don, I remember him years ago when he was principal. He came and said, he was so just so discouraged, so blue one day. And he came back, we sat down in the office and we talked. We had talks sometimes like this about, you know, we'd see direction or trends amongst the young people. It just discourages your heart. And he said, man, he said, you know, he said, I got privy to something that I really just, it kind of broke my heart. And I said, what's that, Brother Don? He said, well, we got a group that kind of has this thing figured out about conferences and camps and everything. And, you know, we're not going to pay attention to the preaching on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. But, you know, just to keep everybody off our back, we're going to run to the altar on Thursday night and we're going to kneel at the altar and just respond to the altar call. And that'll make everybody happy that we went to the altar. And it was all a sham. That's disgusting. I'm for using the altar. I believe it's right to use the altar. I believe it's helpful to use the altar. But, brother, this is no place for a sham. No place to come down here and kneel and say, Lord, whatever, speak to my heart. Never mean it. You know I really don't mean it. We got to be careful, folks. God, speak through my pastor. God, please speak through the preaching. God, speak to my heart as my pastor preaches. But I'm not gonna address that, though. That's an untouchable. Has no biblical basis, but I've just decided that's an untouchable. That's called dissembling. Lord, speak to my heart, except for, you know, this area over here. No. Wink, wink, the intention. The winking heart. These people in Jeremiah 42, they had all the appearance of being right, being sincere. Pray for us. Let us know what God says. We will do it. It was all a sham. They were disingenuous. They were dissembled in their heart. Their minds were made up. They knew what they wanted to do. And it really didn't matter what God said. But I'll tell you what, going to Jeremiah and asking him sure did look good. Didn't it? Would you pray for us? And God told Jeremiah, he said, it's all a sham. Not a bit of seriousness about it. Their minds already made up. And it was. They did exactly what they wanted to do. God knows what's in our heart. People, when we go to God and we need counsel and we need direction and we need wisdom and we need help, can I suggest tonight that when we say, God, please speak to us, we mean exactly what that ought to mean. I'll do it. God knows our hearts. Number two, quickly tonight, let me say this. Too much dissembling comes back to bite us. Too much dissembling comes back to bite us. You remember Aesop's fable about the little boy who cried wolf? It's kind of, it's not apples to apples here, but it kind of fits this. You know, I mean, he's out there, you know, he's bored, he's watching the sheep. Wolf, wolf! Here come the townspeople with their pitchforks and their guns and everything, you know. Oh, I was just joking. Remember that? And then they did it again. Wolf, wolf! And here they all came. And after so many times, you know, the kid's just a liar. And then the wolf came. And he cried, wolf. And they didn't come. Which is the teaching is no one believes a liar, even when he's telling the truth. And the wolf ate the sheep. Now, you know what Zechariah said in chapter 7, verse number 13? Don't turn to it. Let me give you. He is preaching. Now, wait a minute. Now, watch me, because I think this is crucial. He is reminding the post-captivity Jews. Okay? Because he's preaching after the captivity. So he's reminding the post-captivity Jews about the pre-captivity Jews and the prophets who preached to them. Okay? Talking about their fathers and so forth. He's talking to the post-captivity Jews about the pre-captivity Jews. This is what Zechariah said. He said, therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, the prophet cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. You know what happened? Their dissembling caught up with them. When you dissemble too often, it ends up biting you. They would ask for a word from the Lord. They would ask for wisdom. They would ask Jeremiah and others, preached it and gave it to them. But there was no change. There was no sincerity. There was no intention of changing. They dissembled. They were set in their ways. Their minds were made up. Their foreheads were like an adamant stone. They simply weren't changing. But then the day came where they really did need and want to hear from God. That day is coming. And God said, when they cried, I did not hear. Somehow we have come to believe the belief that we have a God on demand. We have a God on demand. I don't need Him. I don't need Him. Lord, be sure and good if You speak to my heart. Oh, well, yeah. Oh, yeah, about that. No, I'm not changing that. I don't. God, I need You. God, I need help. God on demand. God, when I need Him. God, when I want Him. God, when I say it's time. And you know what God said? They'd hit that, time period. God said, you know what? I'd had enough of that. It came to a place in time here when they hit a time of real need, and then I would not hear them. Now, folks, listen, when I come, we will listen to the voice of God, and then we'll take it or leave it, decide we want it, we don't want it. But when we come to a time of real need and we want to pray, and we need God to answer us, and we need to mean business, the heavens will be brass. There are many times in His Word where God made it clear that He is not obligated to hear, or He is not God on demand. Does that make sense to y'all? He is not God on, He's God. It's high time we reckon, we're not calling the shots here. No, sir. God said, you know what? In mercy and grace, I talked to you and showed you and talked to you until you ignored me and dissembled in your hearts, acted like you wanted me to speak to you. When I did, you didn't pay any attention. Now you need me? No. No. I will not answer. I'm not God on demand. There will come a day, something you and I can count on, if our record is not being sincere about hearing His Word, something that you and I can count on. If that's my track record, friend, there's going to come a day when I really need to hear God's direction, counsel, but the heavens will be like brass. I don't know about you, but when I got a kid 10,000 miles away with a problem, I need God to hear me. And if I want Him to hear me then, I better make a practice of hearing Him now. Because He's not God on demand. Amen and amen. Someday your descending will catch up and reach up and bite you. Number three, and this is the saddest one of all, being left to ourselves is being left to disaster. Young people, would you listen to me for a moment? You really want it your way. You really want it your way. Do you know how serious it is to be left to your way? Folks, you don't have to be distracted by a child crying. Come on, pay attention. It's all right. Children cry. You realize how serious it is to be left to ourselves. To be left to what we want. God says you didn't want my counsel. You didn't want my advice. Oh, you acted like it. You went to Jeremiah and it's all this pious attitude and pray, whatever God says, that's what we'll do. God said, you never wanted my counsel. You never wanted my advice. You never wanted it. You wanted your way. You wanted your counsel. You wanted your own reason. Well, you've got it. You're left to yourselves. And folks, being left to themselves was disaster. They died in Egypt. Exactly what God said. They died in Egypt. Now listen to Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 30. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Oh yes, that's what I want. I want my way. I want my devices. I've got this thing planned out. And I want my way. Did you hear what he said? When we are filled with our way and filled with our own devices, we are in serious condition. They swapped God's reproof and God's counsel for their way and their own desires. That is a horrible swap and a dangerous one. God said, that's what you want? That's what you want, okay?
I've got it.
Listen to it again. They shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. And in the context, the fruit of their own way and being filled with their devices is not a positive thing. It's a negative thing. You know what? They wanted it and they got it. And when they got it, they found out they didn't want it. Being left to ourselves is being left to disaster. When the young person sits, well, not young, adult, early 30s, sits across the table just a handful of weeks ago and says, Pastor, when I was here, I didn't want anything you preached to us about. I wanted my way. I've got it. And I don't want it. What are you going to do? Sprinkle some magic dust and redo it? And I laid out a little program, ta-da, 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 ta-da. But when they left, I'd be a liar if I told you I had any positive feelings. Brother Larry, the web is so tangled. If they get out of it, it's years. If. But they got their way. My heart's, you think, you know, y'all, some people have the demented idea that pastors rear back in their seat. I told you so. That was not my heart was broken. Because here was a kid. He was a kid when I came here. A little boy. And how much do you do? And preach and pray and go to chapel and beg and plead. And they want their way. And they get it. I don't want it. Jeremiah, would you pray for us? Whatever God says, that's what we'll do. We sure need some help here. We don't know what to do. So we'll do whatever God says, good or bad. But they dissembled. They weren't sincere. Their dissembling came back to bite them. When they were left to themselves, they were left to disaster. God's way is the best way. I always forget the words. But God's way is the best way. And that's what we ought to pray when we need direction and counsel and wisdom. Lord, I need your way, whatever the cost. That's what I'll do. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, would you please help us, make us tender. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be available to you to mold, to shape, to work on. Lord, please. I mean to the place where you could really work on us. Because you know we mean business. You know we're sincere. We're going to have our bumps and our issues, Lord, because we're human. But Lord, I pray that we wouldn't come to you with a dissembled heart and an insincere, hypocritical, covered-up, intentioned heart. Help us to seek your way about our lives, our families, our marriages. And then, Lord, get in your way. Please don't leave us to ourselves. Oh, God, please. Don't leave us to ourselves. I ask you, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder if the Spirit of God spoke to your heart tonight. Is your heart available for God to work on, to change? Is it? Is it available? Lord, speak to us tonight. Oh, my goodness. Yes, but what if He really does? And what if He asks us to do something that really goes against our grain? God's way is the best way. The Lord speak to your heart tonight. Why don't you take a few minutes and talk back to Him? If you need to be saved, of course you need to see somebody. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation while they're quiet in this now. You come. Let's kneel tonight. Let the Spirit of God speak to our hearts. Is my heart available for God to change? Is it